Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all of you who are listening in. We're continuing our series on the subject of peace today, and for the last few weeks, our attention has been focused in on a single passage of Scripture, and that's Matthew chapter 6. And even more than a single passage of Scripture, it's focused in on a single idea, and that is of worry. We have seen so far in Matthew 6 some worry-destroying antidotes from our Lord Jesus. We saw that God loves us more than nature, and since he takes care of nature, he's going to take care of us just fine. We also saw that God, as our Heavenly Father, knows what we need, so we don't need to worry. And last week we focused on Jesus' wisdom to be concerned about today's troubles and not to worry about tomorrow's. Jesus admonishes us to do this because our Heavenly Father already knows what we need and knows about tomorrow. Just do what you need today. Tomorrow will bring its own troubles. Now, one of the difficulties that has arisen in many people's minds when they consider these things is Jesus' statement in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. ESV translates that as, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. The King James translates that as, take no thought for the morrow. So here's the difficulty. Is Jesus telling us to not make plans? It's kind of the question I want to ask and answer with you here today. Is Jesus telling us not to make plans? I've actually had people suggest that to me before. A number of years ago, I had a talk with a friend about saving for retirement. I've been taught that I've been taught from an early age, that you start early on that, and if you do, it goes a lot easier in the long run. And although I've not been perfect, I've worked hard to save. And so we were having this discussion about saving for retirement, and the friend said to me, much to my shock, I don't really worry about that. I said, I'm not talking about worrying, I'm talking about planning. He said, it's basically the same thing. He then went on to tell a story about how he'd saved up money for something and lost it all due to an emergency. And he said, I think what Jesus said in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount is true. I don't worry about tomorrow. God will just take care of the rest. God taught me that when I make plans, all my plans get destroyed. I pressed a little further about this, and he said, I just trust God. Now, it's interesting how many people, in the name of Jesus, use that idea, not just for retirement, but for actually a lot of other things as well. I've heard that uttered with things like insurance, seat belts, whether or not to use birth control, saving money for an event, and borrowing money as well. And many people point to texts like this one. I don't worry about tomorrow because Jesus told me not to. The question is this actually what Jesus wanted to communicate to his readers and to us today? I suppose in one sense it would be wonderful if he did. That was the view of my friend I mentioned. He said, it's just so peaceful knowing that I don't have to worry about any future things. And it would be, wouldn't it? I mean, if you and I could just get up every day and think, I don't have to think about future things at all, I just need to get done today's work. That sounds peaceful. And if it were true, it would be peaceful. But it's not true, and I don't think it's what Jesus is teaching here. And we know this for a couple of reasons. First of all, Jesus himself made plans. He knew when he was going to die. And he prepared his disciples for that event long ahead of time. I mean, if you follow Jesus' ministry throughout the Gospels, he is clearly and carefully shepherding his people, preparing them for future events. He also told his disciples when they were getting to go on ready to go on a preaching tour what they needed to pack and take with them and what they should expect. That involves, at a minimum, basic planning. But even more than this, the rest of the Bible assumes that planning is an okay thing and even sanctions it. Paul wrote to several of the churches he ministered to about how he was hoping to come to them, in some cases shortly. And if you read the book of Proverbs, it's full of admonitions for us to plan ahead. Here's one that I like, Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And the word picture is powerful. A prudent or wise person sees trouble on the path ahead and makes plans accordingly. The simple, unwise person just charges on ahead with seemingly blinders on, and they run right into trouble. And it hurts in the end. Or consider the passage in Proverbs 6 about the ant. Remember that the ant is praised because she gathers her food in the summer and harvests it so that she would have provision for all the year long. That involves planning. It would therefore be odd for Jesus to say, "Don't plan anything." He would be putting himself at odds with the rest of what the scripture says, and Jesus certainly did not come to do that. He came to fulfill the whole law, every jot and iota. If Jesus isn't telling us not to plan, then we're left to answer the question, what is he telling us to do? And if planning is okay, and even encouraged to do, what does good planning look like? Let's first tackle that question, what is Jesus telling us to do? Or another way of saying that is, what does take no thought, to use the King James, mean? First, when you look in Matthew 6, the text is very clear. What Jesus says is, do not worry about tomorrow. Worrying and planning are not the same things. I suppose at some point there's a fine line between the two, but on the whole, they're worlds apart. A plan involves something like this. First, you identify what you're aiming to achieve. Could be that you need to finish a project by the end of next week. Could be that you're going to build a house. Or could be, as the conversation with my friend was about, what you need to do to save for retirement. Whatever your plan is, you identify clearly what you're aiming for. Second, a plan involves identifying what you need to achieve your aim. So, if your project you need to finish by next week is doing a white glove clean of your house, you need to figure out what you need for supplies and figure out how much time it's going to take to get it done. If the project is saving for retirement, you need to figure out how much money you need to actually retire. Third, a plan involves identifying what you need to do to achieve your aim. So, in the case of cleaning your house, Monday you might buy the supplies, Tuesday you might focus on the bedrooms, Wednesday you might focus on the kitchen, and so on. Or for retirement, you determine how much money you need to save each month or week or paycheck to achieve your aim. And finally, the plan is implemented when you start to do the things you need to do to achieve your aim. Now, I want you to note that all four of those steps, whether it is identifying what you're aiming to achieve, identifying what you need to achieve your aim, or identifying what you need to do to achieve your aim, and finally implementing your plan, I want you to note that none of those things involves worry. Those are not matters of anxiety. They're not matters of anxiousness. Worry involves seeking and pining and being full of anxiety to try to get the things we perceive we need. Remember that in context, Jesus is talking about our basic necessities, things like food and drink and clothing. The Gentiles sought after those things, but they did so by badgering the gods for them. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Their philosophy was to try and cajole the gods into giving them what they need, so they sacrificed and did religious rituals to try and get the gods to pay attention to them. Jesus doesn't tell us, you may remember, not to seek after our needs. He's telling us not to seek like the Gentiles seek. Rather, we have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need. All we need to do is ask Him and leave it there. What we're to seek is the kingdom of God. Seek that righteousness. Our anxiety not ought to be about our stuff, but about our holiness before God. Today, a person who worries about tomorrow is consumed with all the things that could happen or might happen and frets about them. The planning person has a plan for how to deal with those concerns. If A, then B. If C, then D. If E, then F. The fretting person just keeps circling back to the troubles and can't get over them. The worrying person brings them up over and over again and has no ability to move beyond them. Planning and worrying are not the same thing. Jesus was concerned about the worrying part. The anxiousness has no place for the child of God. But what about our second question? What does good planning look like? What does good planning look like? Well, in some sense, we've already answered that question. Planning involves identifying what you're aiming to achieve, identifying what you need to achieve your aim, and figuring out and taking out the necessary steps to achieve your aim, figuring out what you need to do and taking the necessary steps to achieve your aim. But that is not all there is. I suppose that is all there is for an earthy-minded person. After all, nothing I've said about planning is something you will not find in a good motivational speaker or a life coach or a business management book. But Christian planning involves something more. Good Christian planning involves something more, and here it is. It involves the knowledge that at the end of the day, when I have done what is right and good to the best of my ability and plans, whatever happens is the Lord's will. In other words, if you or I have planned in wisdom for something, and then something else comes up that alters or even destroys our plans, we can say as Christians, our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and thus the Lord's will be done. This is the emphasis that James has in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Let me read those verses to you. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. One of the ironies is that while I was preparing this very devotional to share with you all, a rather significant challenge came my way that severely altered my plans. In fact, not just one, but two. I had every intention of finishing this on a particular day and recording it, and I was on track for that. But first a phone call and then a text message came my way that were of utmost importance, and all my plans were gone. I had figured out my aim, I had identified what I needed to do to achieve my aim, I had identified the steps to achieve my aim, and I started putting them in place. And I was on track to get it done. And all of a sudden, all my plans were gone. Now that doesn't just happen to Christians, it happens to non-Christians as well. After all, you've probably heard the phrase, the best made plans are laid to waste. But good Christian planning says that when these things occur, these disturbances, it's the Lord's will. And we have to rest in that. You see, my Heavenly Father knew that my plans were not going to come to fruition. My Heavenly Father also knows what is best for me. So He gave some things to me that were good for my soul. They didn't feel that way, but they were. And I can delight in the fact that God knows what I need. I would suggest to you that this actually brings peace. It brings more peace than the false hope that says, I don't plan at all. Because I got to tell you, people who don't plan at all, they reap the reward of not planning. They find out at the end of that usually not peace is what happens in their life rather than peace. But rather, when I say, I've made my plans, and sometimes God changes those plans, it brings me peace because at the end of each day, I can say, if I've done what was right, but all my plans were wrecked, God's will was done. And that is so freeing. In fact, it makes me free to work hard and just trust God for the rest. And I know, and you can know, that He's faithful because He's my Heavenly Father. And His will be done. The Lord knows what I need. I hope that that helps you bring a little bit more peace in your life as we continue on in this study of peace. Once again, thank you for listening. I hope to connect with you all sooner than later. The Lord be with you all.